British Rail.
What is, Mr. Phillips?
Well, the way they found a path in between the telegraph poles on that side and the trees on this side so they could put their track down.
Positively brilliant.
I'm glad you both agree. They do say that if you can move your eyes from left to right quickly enough to count the telegraph poles flashing by, you can tell the speed the train is going. Give or take a pole.
Why don't you keep on counting them and shut up? And what happens if there aren't any telegraph poles flashing by for you or the driver to count?
Oh, that's obvious. The train has stopped.
Captain Polby, how much longer before this train reaches Waterloo? Oh,
another 58 minutes.
That's it. It's too long. The idiot doesn't seem to realize that all our careers are at stake. And all due to him.
All right, then. All right. Just you tell me why. Come on, why?
Your navigation.
Well, it's easy for you to talk. It's not so easy out there at sea, where there aren't any lampposts or telegraph poles. Tell you how fast the ship is going.
I think his last little epic was the cause of our train journey and presumably our dismissal from the service, sir.
Oh, you mean the saga of the Admiral's barge.
But that was his fault. I mean, I docked perfectly. How was lovable Leslie to know that the Admiral had thoughtlessly left his little boat tied up in our berth before I parked?
Never forget how the Admiral cried as he watched all that driftwood that was once his launch floating away down the harbour and out into the Solent.
And what piled agony upon agony was the fact that the Admiral's best uniform was in it.
I saved that with a boat hook. Didn't I?
Oh, yes, you did that, all right. And after it had been dried out in the boiler room, I remember the Admiral remarking that the only blasted sailor his suit would ever fit again was Donald Duck.
Yes, Mr. Phillips. Thanks to you, we'll all be in Civvy Street after our interview with the Admiral of the Fleet, Sir Hamish Percival Percival.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, Leslie Phillips, and John Pertwee.
Yes. You speak first before I disclose who I am.
It's your secretary, Lad Burrell. A sub-lieutenant Phillips, Commander Murray Vale, and a Captain Paul Vale to see you, Admiral. If you're available, Admiral Percival.
Then send them in.
Straight away, Admiral.
Enter.
This way to the Admirals.
Thank you, Avail.
Of course, Avail.
Very kind, Avail.
Not at all, Avail.
Oh, get out of here. Thank you for getting here so promptly, gentlemen.
We were lucky with the traffic, sir. Our taxi was able to do 4,000 lampposts an hour.
Is he using code?
No, sir, that's just him.
Admiral, I would like to make it perfectly clear that I had absolutely nothing to do with...
Shh! Not another word, Captain. You should know better than that. Walls have ears. Close the soundproof door.
Admiral, I really must insist.
Not a chance, Proby. You should have thought of that before. Now, that door's got a time lock on it, so try and forget about it. Try to think of something else.
That wasn't what I...
Quiet! Loose lips sink ships. That you might let something go in an unguarded moment.
Sir, if we may get down to the nitty-gritty, we're sort of in the dark.
No, we're not, but we should be. Good man. I'll close the Venetian blinds. Who's that? I warn you, I'm armed.
No, it's all right, sir. It's only Mr. Phillips. He's afraid of the dark.
Well, aren't we all? In case you're mystified, gentlemen, I'm only taking these precautions in your own interests. You see, I hate to admit it, but I may be bugged.
Oh, nasty.
Really, Admiral, I must point out that all this has nothing to do with me.
Don't you realize that every word we utter could be overheard by them? Even if we go to the boys' room to wash our hands, we must remember that down every plug hole is an enemy lug hole.
But supposing there isn't an enemy lug hole at the end of your little boy's plug hole, then they wouldn't overhear it. They'd underhear it. No, that can't be right. No, they'd between hear it.
No. De-hear it.
No. Sub-hear it.
No, surely it's anti-hear.
Never mind. We must get on. Now then. You are about to be sent on a highly secret mission.
Are you really, sir?
Not necessarily.
What?
Pardon?
Exactly. It concerns HGM Mark V.
HGM Mark V?
Yes, the Hum-Grummet Missile Mark V. Now, the radio-controlled Hum-Grummet Missile Mark V, the prototype, the only one in existence, has been stolen by Astrakhanian agents. Now, in an unknown number of days' time, 5 ships from the British Navy will be sailing on a goodwill trip to Bermuda, but not necessarily in that order.
Yes, I can see it all up to now.
Good man. Now, at some point, one ship, which I shan't tell you because it's highly secret, one of those ships will open their secret orders, leave the Goodwill mission, and head towards Astrakhania to retrieve the HGM Mark V. Now, I trust the importance of this mission is not unapparent to you all.
Excuse me, sir, but don't you mean disapparent?
No. He means anti-apparent.
Well, perhaps I meant sub-apparent.
What about heir apparent?
Ministry of Defense, Admiral Potter Jenkins speaking.
Excuse me, sir, but I really must...
Well, if you must, you must, but don't bother me about it. I'm in an urgent planning meeting with Bonzo Wallace. Good luck. My word, I beat him at his own game there. I got him before he could tell me his name. Now then, as I see it, Bonzo, the easiest way out to decide which member of the flotilla goes to Astrakhania instead of Bermuda is to put the names of each ship into a hat.
Plant them 2 inches deep and water them every Sunday.
And draw out the winner. Now, I take this folded paper from the hat, open it and... Oh, dear. Which ship do you think it is?
The Mousetrap.
We haven't got a ship called the Mousetrap.
Well, it's been running for 23 years, and I haven't met anyone who's seen it yet.
It's that ghastly, derelict, waterlogged heap called Trapbridge.
My word, that Mr. Chaplin was highly amusing in his film The Gold Rush, wasn't he? The way he had his boots. You know, he started with the laces, you know, like spaghetti.
So we agree that Trapbridge is the ship that will recover the HGM Mark V.
Do you know that the song with the longest title in the world is called I'm a Cranky Old Yank in a Clanky Old Tank on the streets of Yokohama with my Honolulu mama doing these beato, flat on my seato, Hirohito... Lose. Now, how does it go now? I'm a cranky old...
Roger! You never listen to a blithering word I ever blithering well say.
Well, why blithering well should I? You never listen to a blithering word I ever blithering well sing.
Why should I? You never say a blithering word worth listening to.
Well, neither do I, and that goes for me too.
So that's settled. But high time, too.
10 to 12.
No. Trowbridge picks up the Hum-Grummet missile.
Oh. Now,
Don't forget, Mr. Phillips, for the sake of men's lib, whenever the girls come back from wherever they've gone, that this Chinese meal between Whittakins, I mean Mrs. Murray, and you and Wren Barrett, and I mean Samantha, may well be our last supper together.
Crafty swine. You know jolly well that of all the ships in the flotilla going to Bermuda, they'll never pick us to rescue the HGM Mark V.
Shh, we know that, but they don't.
Look out, Kamala Murray, sir. Here comes Rietekens. Mrs. Murray. And Wren Barrett. I mean, Samantha.
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, Leslie, I think that for this evening we can dispense with formalities. You can call me Stevekins. Stevens. But if you and I play our cards right, lay on the drama, the blood, sweat and tears, you and I know it's not going to happen.
Deceitful swine.
No. Shh.
The door, where we're not supposed to know where the ladies have been, has just opened. And they're coming out.
Pretend to be talking to me.
Well, I am.
Pretend harder.
And then when Vance and Bessie and I were approaching the brick wall, I was terrified. I mean, crumbling literally in the saddle. Gadsoops, I thought to myself, Rietekens. I mean, Mrs. Murray will never straddle the masonry this high. Until I thought, if Harvey Smith can do it, so can I.
You mean you gave the brick wall the high sign?
Exactly. And Bouncing Betty and I just sailed over.
How exciting. You won.
Not quite. But we did come in 18th.
Congratulations.
There you are, boys. We mustn't keep them waiting. Stevekins, here we are.
There you are. This is our table over here. Waiter.
So, good evening. would you be a naval platy?
Yes, I suppose. I suppose we are.
Waiter number two, over here.
The Hello Sailors table, Lady and gentlemen, please be seated.
Right, it's on me. Don't stint yourselves. Heaven knows when we, that is, two of us, with luck, will ever eat again. Now then, what's everybody going to have? I think I should go for the beef chow mein.
It just doesn't seem possible that here we are, all dressed up. You, Rita, Leslie and I sitting round a table in a Chinese restaurant selecting a meal. Knowing that tomorrow, you, Commander Murray, and my brave boyfriend will be facing heaven knows what perils.
If you're in the Navy, it's all of the day's work.
Well, I wouldn't be in your shoes. The Astrakhanian Navy are pretty powerful. They won't let go of the radio-controlled HGM Mark V lightly. If they spot you, there'll be bombs and bullets and shells everywhere.
I think I'll have the special chop suey with it.
I'd hate to risk my life under constant hail of depth charges and mines and pom-pom guns ripping the thin steel of your ship and human flesh.
And a portion of spare ribs.
I can't tell you how proud I am that my man is going out to face all those decks awash with broken bones and gore.
Gosh, I'm proud of him. What a jolly brave chap. He should get a medal. What's his name?
It's you, you fool.
I don't think I feel very well.
That's beef chow mein for me, special chop suey with egg and a portion of spare ribs for Rietekens. I mean, Mrs. Murray.
I'll just have prawn balls in oyster sauce.
Good. What about you, Mr. Phillips?
All of a sudden, I don't think I feel very hungry.
Perhaps something light such as flish flish to salute Blondie's delicate tum-tum.
Of course, he's right, you know. I'll just have a Dover sole.
They don't have an English menu here.
Oh, all right, then. I'll have a Shanghai cell. And sweet and sour chips.
Hey, number two waiter, come quickly. We have a light one here.
Oh, what is clause of unbridled hilarity, huh? Not another blangers and mass, gent?
No. No, this one better than that. He ordered a long time. Sweet and sour chips.
One chop-sticking minute. What did I do? What did I say?
Wake on number three. Clop this twix.
What is clause of unbridled hilarity?
Blonde bones ordered a kitchen. Can think of a white house. That's your daughter. Sweet and sour chips.
Hey, waiter, you must stop this. This is good.
What is clause of such unbridled hilarity? Not another blangers and mash tin.
He ordered hand and poison and all. And he ordered
and all.
Sweet and sour chips.
Now, look here, you Chinese chaps. The cause of all this giggling amongst you totally escapes me. Frankly, the cause of it all is totally disapparent to me.
Next course, please. What not a disapparent? What a semi-apparent?
No, no, no. The word is demi-apparent.
I always thought it was misapparent.
No, no, no. Word anti-apparent.
All along. Word sub-apparent.
No. Word
misapparent.
I say, look here. I can hardly wait to get to Bermuda and wear my shorts. Sweet and sour chips to the lot of you. Now, as I see it, that is the Astrakhania coast 5 miles ahead as the crow walks.
Crow walks? But crows don't pitter-patter about on their little trotters, sir. One thought they flew.
Well, normally, yes, but I've allowed for that, you see. It's such a nice day. They might have decided to walk.
Well, supposing he ran?
Well, in that case, Astrakhania is only 3 miles away.
What's Pertley doing heading for Astrakhania when Pertley was looking forward to heading for Bermuda?
You may recall, at a significant date last month, the Astrakhanian Navy flagship docked alongside us at Portsmouth. And, by the merest coincidence, after they'd refueled, revictualled, and reloaded their ammo locker and sailed off, Whitehall discovered that our HGM Mark V had gone missing.
Filthy swine.
And in their wisdom, their lordships have selected Troutbridge from the entire flotilla to be the ship most capable of snatching back the HGM Mark V from the jaws of what we must now consider to be an enemy.
I don't think I want to go.
Too late, Mr. Phillips. You're already here.
Oh, full stern both.
Full stern both for the utmost pleasure it is, sir.
Forget it. Yes?
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading Seaman Goldstein chatting. I'm glad I caught you when you were in.
What is it, Goldstein? I'm terribly busy at the moment.
Well, if asked, I'd say you'd be a sight busier shortly. In case none of you in the greenhouse up there have noticed, there's a wacky great Astrakhanian gunboat heading for us, with all their guns pointing straight at us. And I don't think they're popping in to borrow a cup of sugar, a Welsh cake and a bucket of gold.
What? Gun crew, stand by! Gun crew, load and prepare to fire!
With respect, sir, fire what? At who?
Well, shells, of course. At the, enemy.
That's going to be a bit tricky, isn't it? Enemy we've got one of, I'll grant you. But shells we've got none of.
What?
All we've got in the ammo locker is a lot of echo and a large wooden crate. Marked radio-controlled, ungrammic missile, Mark 5, top secret, this side up.
HGM Mark 5? How on earth did that happen to be aboard Trav... We're not supposed to have... I mean, the Astrakhanian are supposed to...
Puzzling, isn't it?
Rosie, don't... Full of stun both.
Full of stun both for the greatest electric tickles...
Stand fast. Pass me the loudhailer. I'll teach these Astrakhanian swine that Britain still rules the waves.
Ahoy there, enemy. I give you fair warning that if you don't get us free passage, I shall order my gun crew to open fire and blow you out of the water.
Right, that settles it. If they want to play it rough, so be it. Gun crew, load HGM Mark 5 and prepare to fire.
Sir... But we don't want to live dangerously.
Don't argue, Chief. You're British. Fire!
Fire!
Was last seen towing a mangle behind him. That's the end of the news. And now, if you're sitting comfortably, by the fire...
Lummy. So that's what's meant by radio-controlled. It's tuned into radio, too.
We'll go back to Pete Murray and the Open House Tour this week in the Van Bolgetti Concert Hall.
Stone meat, stop! What's it doing hanging about up there?
Perhaps it's waiting for the next request to tell it where to go.
And this is Pete Murray welcoming you back to Open House in Francatelli with a request specially for Mrs. Blodwyn Jenkins, the fish and fowl, for the majestic sound of the Bethsaida male voice chorale singing How Deep Is the Ocean.
Everybody down!
Mrs. Jenkins of Jasmine Cottage, Sludge Lane, Francatelli, is 100 years of age today.
Bridge?
What a pity. A couple more minutes and we might have heard Aunt Morpeth's request for bread of heaven.
Right. There's only one thing to do.
And we know what that is.
Full of sound, both.
Understand. We had to fire it. We had nothing else in our ammunition locker.
A thin excuse. Do you realize that through your cowardice you have ruined the career of Professor Helen Gilmore here?
You've drowned my little humdrum it. The government paid me for 5 years to make it.
Well, steady, madam, steady. All we did was to fire some of it rain. Lost, glug, 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 all gone.
No, no, no. That's not right either.
What isn't?
Mini-apparent. Or ex-apparent.
Oh, shut up.
Now, look here, Captain Fulby. Never mind cowardice. I lay the blame on you. And if not you, then the dockyard. You were the culprit who sent us out to face the might of the entire Astrakhanian fleet with no ammo aboard except for one lousy HGM Mark V missile that went splosh, glug, 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 all gone.
Commander Murray, I will not be spoken to like this.
Captain Povey, there's a gentleman from British Rail to see you. He says that it's urgent.
British Rail? Oh, very well, send him in.
Oh, my little grummet. You've drained it.
All in all, Fred Ford, Claims Department, British Rail. I've got an awful feeling we owe you a bit of an apology.
Mr. Ford, if it's about that small matter of me travelling from Portsmouth to Scunthorpe only to find to one surprise nothing amazement that one was travelling on a platform ticket.
No. Bill King is not my deft. I'm here because for once British Rail has got one.
Great heavens, is nothing sacred?
It seems that on the morning of the 23rd inst, our delivery depth was due to deliver 28 crates of shells to HMS Troutbridge, a roll of carpet to a Mr. and Mrs. R. Scruton of Buxton Darbs, and one HGM Mark V to Harwell.
Thanks to Brit Rail, Arwell copped the carpet, Troutbridge copped the umgrummet, and Mr. and Mrs. R. Scruton are stuck with the wall-to-wall shells.
My word! This one has got a brain!
we could do with him in charge of our Where the Hell's It Gone department.
Clown, where the hell's Murray?
I'm here, Daddy-in-law. I mean, Admiral.
Ah, congratulations, Murray. You've saved us a blasted fortune in those blasted hum-grummet missiles.
But they've grinded it. I mean, years and years of work, and they've grinded it.
If it hadn't been for you, Murray, the MOD would have bought a million of those blasted things that go splosh, glug, 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 all gone.
I think I've got it. It's all so simple if you've got a mind like mine.
You mean you know where the stuff should have gone?
No. It's not semi-apparent, or disapparent, or demi-apparent, or any of those not-so-apparents at all. It's a bachelor or a spinster. Hmm?
What?
Pardon? Exactly. You see, a bachelor or a spinster aren't married, so they can't possibly be a parent.
Stephen Murray, Leslie Phillips and John Pertwee have been drowning their hum-grummet in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Richard Caldicott was Captain Povey, Heather Chasen was Rita, Taniel Evans was Bonzo Wallace, Michael Bates was Admiral Potter Jenkins, April Walker was Wren Barrett, and you also heard the voice of Pete Murray. The announcer was Don Debridge, and the show was produced by Alastair Scott Johnston.